When I was first ordained, which will be 40 years ago this month, when I was first ordained, I went back to Oklahoma to serve as an associate pastor. And my area of ministry that I was given was the college age ministry, and I thoroughly enjoyed that. It was like eating ice cream cones and was great fun for me. But one of the questions that I encountered more often than any other question is, how can I know the will of God for my life? Now think back to when you were that age. You're 19, 20 years old. You don't have a clue. You don't know come here from Sikkim, right? But you want to serve God. You want to love God. You want to do what God wants you to do. But how can I know God's will for my life? I got that question. If I got it once, 1,000 times. I came to understand what they really meant was this. How can I know what I'm going to be doing for the next 20 years? They wanted it all laid out like a roadmap. Who am I going to marry? Am I going to be able to find a spouse? And they would come to me and ask me those questions as if I had some divine channel with the Almighty to be able to tell them, well, yes, you're supposed to marry Sally, and by the way, you're gonna play the violin for all the rest. What is God's will for my life? We're older now, right? Yeah. We're on the opposite end of that spectrum, yet I suspect the question still lingers for us. The question that I hear from our generation and older are questions like this. Why am I still here? I'm ready to go. Why am I still here? What does God have for me? Of what value am I in the kingdom of God? What is it that God wants me to do? These questions are what's wrapped up in the text that meets us in this petition of the Lord's Prayer. And I've come to believe over the years that the will of God is not so much a location or a vocation as it is us being who God wants us to be in the place that God has put us. Now, since it's been a couple of weeks since I've been with you, let me review where we were when I left and we can pick up this morning. Our Lord, in answering the question how they should pray, begins by reminding us that when we pray to one whom we address as our Father. Our prayer is not praying to an ogre that sits upon a throne with a frowning face that's waiting for us to mess up so he can thump us and get us back in line. That's not the picture of our God to whom we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven. We are praying to one who loves us passionately. We are praying to one who desires to bless us and do good for us. We are praying to one who loves us with the same love that he had for his Son, Jesus Christ. You are a loved child of God. Never, never forget that. When you bow your head in prayer to him, he cannot love you more than he does at this moment. He will not love you less, regardless of how bad you may screw up. Our Father, who art in heaven. And then the first petition, when we understand he is our Father, Lord, hallowed be thy name. Let your name be holy. Let your name be honored by me, by our church, by our society, by all everywhere. Hallowed be thy name. And it is when we hallow the name of God that we begin to look upon the world as He sees it, and then we pray, Thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. Lord, rule in my heart. Rule in our church. Rule in our world. Let Thy kingdom come. There is in that request, as we saw, the realization that all is not well in our world. God created and did was very good, He said, but sin entered our world and we fell from Him, and we divided ourselves from Him. And we begin to kill, and we begin to lie, and we begin to steal, and we begin to violate everything that God loves. Thy kingdom come. And in this request, it goes a step farther. Thy will be done. And what's the next phrase? On earth as it is in heaven. You see, my friends, it's at this point that the prayer really begins to hit home. This isn't just about pie in the sky and the sweet by and by. This is not just about going to heaven when we die, or probably not going to hell when we die, whichever one is more an appealing motive for you. This is about the will of God being done in us and through us. When? On earth. Today, I will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So let's pull that apart just a little bit, because we talk about the will of God in a lot of different ways, right? There's a sense in which we would say, Thy will be done. Well, of course it's going to be done. God is God, and His will is always done. That's what we just heard about in Daniel 4, isn't it? It's what Nebuchadnezzar came to realize. There is that will of decree. We call it the decretive will of God. God's will of decree. When God speaks, and when God speaks, guess what? It comes to pass. God said, let there be light. And there was what? There was light. There was light. God spoke, and there was. Because God is absolutely and completely sovereign, and He is able to bring about that which He decrees. Jesus, let's fast forward a little bit. Lazarus has died, and Jesus is there at the tomb of Lazarus, and He says, Lazarus, come forth. What happened? Lazarus came forth. Why? Because God is absolutely sovereign and able to pull off that which He decrees. But then there's the will of precept. What do I mean by that? Well, the will of God is expressed in His word, through His commands, and through His principles. For instance, it is the will of God that you and I have no other gods before Him, right? We know that because He commands that. In the Ten Commandments and elsewhere, you shall have no other gods before me. He is the living and the true God. But do we always live into that? Not so fast, right? That will of precept we often violate. That is, by the way, why we have a prayer of confession every Sunday. Because we as fallen men and women come short of the glory of God and need to humble ourselves before Him, trusting in His forgiving grace. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. But what do? We parcel out a piece of our heart here and there, a little bit to God, a little bit to everything else. God's will of precept is that we not lie. We never violate that, do we? Well, maybe those little white lies, right? And so we begin that business of rationalization. God's will of precept is that we not murder. or steal. Never happens in our world, does it? Except in El Paso, and except in Ohio, and except in one of the great tragedies of our day, is that we have the headlines. Mass shootings this week. You ever reflected on that? You see, God's will of precept we often violate. God values true worship. We worship Him above everything else, and yet you and I often begin to worship the God of things, or the God of greed, or the God of ego, or the God of superiority. And yet God alone is to have first place in our heart. And we violate quite often that will of precept. There is in this cry, "Thy will be done," a blending together of the will of precept and the will of inclination. God also declares to us that He takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. And yet the wicked die. God tells us that we're to love each other, right? We're even to love our enemies. Thy will be done. Not someday in the sweet by and by. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The Westminster Shorter Catechism recognizes that in question number one. It says to us and asks the question, what is the chief end of man? And you should by now know the answer to that question, because we've talked about it a number of times. The chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. How do you glorify God? You glorify God by valuing that which is in the heart of God. You glorify God by living out the values of God. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. When we do that, we begin to pray and live out the very heart of our God in a world that desperately needs to understand what God looks like and what God values. What's the answer for our society? I can tell you that the answer for the ills of society did not lie in Washington, D.C. That doesn't mean we should not be concerned with the principles and policies of our government. By that, I simply mean this. That the only solution and the only thing that can change us from those who strike out against those who are made in the image of God and change us into people who love that which is in the image of God, that is the grace of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why Paul said we preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Our typical response when we read about the shootings, or whatever it may be that captures our attention, our thoughts and prayers are with them. They are, right? I trust they are. We hurt with those who hurt, and we bring them before the throne of God's grace. But thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven bids us to do more than just merely give our thoughts and prayers. What are we doing to live out the values of God in our world? What are we doing to embrace the image of God and those made in the image of God? What are we doing to live out kingdom values today? Some of you about now are wiggling around in your chair because getting a little political. No, I am not. These are gospel values. These things are the heart of God. We must preach Christ and the newness of life that we have in Jesus Christ, and we must live Christ and the newness of life that we have in Jesus Christ. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. May God, we pray that for every week, right? May God continue to make us into a community of kingdom bearers. May he continue to make us into a community of healed healers. May he continue to make us into a retuned orchestra that's going to play kingdom music to the glory of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. May God continue to make us servants of the Lord and those who cry out, "Not my will, but thine be done." Amen. And amen. Today, let us affirm our faith as we stand.